Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are always glad when you can join us. We have a guest presenter joining us today, and I'd like to thank him for participating. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that is going to be held around 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please let us know if you're here. And I'll begin with our co-chairs, Hans Botendijk.
Good morning.
Ellie Spiro.
Good morning.
Pooja Babar.
Good morning.
Chris Blackley. Kyla Blend. David Butler.
Good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Raj Gabarchi.
Present.
Adi Gunmapalli.
Good morning.
Thank you, Raj. And Jim Jurgis. Summer Kalan.
I am here. Good morning.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning. I'm here.
Meg Marshall.
Good morning.
Anna McAllister. Devin McGraw.
Good morning, everyone.
Ethan Mehta. Justin Neal.
Good morning, everyone.
Elia Oliveira.
I'm here. Good morning.
Hey, Elia. Nerys Thunderbijan is not able to join us today. Scott Robertson.
Good morning. I'm here.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Christian Tadris. Cheryl Turney is also not able to join us today. Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Shelley for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everybody. Appreciate everybody joining again, as well as those on the public side of the call. And for those who are joining first, you have every opportunity to participate in the chat, and for the task force members, make sure it's addressed to everyone, otherwise it won't get on the record. But everybody can participate in the chat throughout, and then at the end we'll have any additional comments that you may want to make. We have a good agenda today that we are going to continue, and towards wrapping up with digital therapeutics, and Shelley will introduce that in a moment further. And then we're going to go back to recommendations and try to get more from in draft mode to the green that they can start to move into the Word document. So that's going to take up the rest of the time for today. So with that, I'll pass it to Shelley and get us started.
Thank you, Hans, and welcome, everyone. And just want to thank the ONC team for putting everything together for us and keeping us on track. And we have a lot of recommendations coming in that Hans has just done an excellent job of getting those into the spreadsheet. And now we're beginning to move that into a Word document so that we can present it to the HITACH. So with that, if we can go to the next slide. Excuse me. And the next slide. I'd like to introduce our speaker today, who is, and I apologize if I mess up your name, Iber Ahmed, Software and Enterprise Architect Manager, ZS. So I will turn it over to you, Iber.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. And the name was absolutely correct. So I am. I work for Organizable ZS Associate. Today, I'll discuss with you do a quick introduction of digital therapeutics. Some of you may already know. Just wanted to make sure that everybody's is on the same page with respect to the definition. And then we just I'll share the needs from manufacturers. A lot of who we work with. So the agenda, again, we'll give a brief description of who we are, and then introduce DTX, look at considerations for standards as we're developing these standards for pharmacy interoperability and other interoperability with other stakeholders. We've created a generalized view. It's not comprehensive. It doesn't account for each and every scenario, but it accounts for the most high impact, high need scenario. So we'll look at PDT ecosystem. Then we'll discuss some of the things that we've heard from our manufacturers, our clients who are manufacturers. Without further ado, if you want to go to the next slide. So I'm a software and enterprise architecture manager for an organization called ZS Associates, as I mentioned. ZS is a global management consulting firm. And we've been heavily investing our time, energy, and leading DTS growth for our clients with a team of experts that we have in-house. Some of the work we have done is, product managing, a number of PDT initiatives that are either ready to be released or are in clinical evidence phase. We've implemented a SAMD COVID-19 solution, software as a medical device COVID-19 solution, led by our SAMD factory, which is an ISO 13485 certified. And overall, we are both a business consulting firm, but we also have we have strong expertise in business technology. And that's what we leverage to support our customers, our stakeholders, who range from biopharma, medtech, health tech, payer, provider, and retail health clients. One statistic that I'm particularly very excited about is that in one of our most successful programs, we have impacted lives of 5 million plus individuals. So this was a quick overview. Happy to chat afterwards if you have any additional questions. Next slide, please. I want to give a quick introduction of what DTX is, right? So DTX is a software product that delivers evidence-based intervention. It is different than digital health. You could consider digital therapeutics broadly, kind of digital health. But digital health is not necessarily evidence-based, is not required to be evidence-based. It primarily is a consumer, its primary purpose is to engage consumers and, stakeholders like HCPs for lifestyle, wellness, and health-related purposes. Some examples are, fitness trackers, step trackers, telehealth, HIT solutions deployed in the hospital, other user-facing technologies. On the other hand, digital medicine and digital therapeutics are regulated solutions that are based on clinical evidence. Digital medicine's definition here is that it's an evidence-based software and/or hardware products that measure and/or intervene in the service of human health. These definitions are taken from Digital DTX Alliance and Digital Medicine Society. And then some examples of products that fall under this category are digital diagnostics, digital biomarkers, electronic clinical outcomes, and so forth, as well as remote patient monitoring. Now, the topic of our discussion, digital therapeutics, is, of course, is a kind of digital medicine, but more focused around creating evidence-based therapeutic interventions to prevent, manage, or treat a medical disorder or disease. I cannot highlight the importance of clinical evidence and real-world outcomes of these products. Both these, as well as digital medicine, medicine products are reviewed and cleared or certified by regulatory bodies. These are solutions, apps, mobile web, different form factors that treat a disease, manage a disease, or improve a health function. As I mentioned, digital medicine and digital therapeutics both are software as a medical device. Next slide, please. So now we get into a little bit deeper into DTX. As we are considering standardization of workflow, interoperability, within pharmacy ecosystem. We need to understand, you know, that DTX can take many forms, right? So it can be a standalone used as a medical intervention. It can be a companion. So what that means is that a patient can just use the therapy app to have interventions in the quest of improving their condition, you know, managed or treated disease. But it can also be part of a companion combo product, which could be include a drug plus digital therapeutics combined. It can be for physical therapy or drug, or it could also be part of RPMs, not necessarily an RPM, but part or deployed within an RPM to deliver intervention or actively collect patient data important for providers. These different forms leads to different certain challenges as we think about standardizing workflow and data while selecting treatment, while allowing HCPs to select treatment, prescribe, and then stakeholders fulfilling prescriptions, include benefits verification. For example, like because of these variations, a DTX can be over the counter or could be prescribed. It could be purely medical or procedural. It can be purely patient-led, where patient somehow knows about it or researches it or is interested in it and seeks it out, especially in the case of OTC. Or it can be inclusive of provider, where provider is helping make decisions around the use of these. The different distribution channels, drugs, we know a lot of these, most of these are through pharmacies, right? You know, specialty, retail, those channels. But the way these, because the technologies that are involved with digital therapeutics, there's so many ways to distribute them. We'll discuss some of these in the ecosystem later down the slides. Next slide, please.
Just to let you know, you've got 2 minutes left.
Oh, interesting. I thought I had almost a total of 20 minutes, but in other words, I can quickly go through it. So one of the things to notice is that drugs have different data elements, data fields, whereas digital therapeutics, there are differences to it, there are nuances to it. Product identifier, what is a product identifier that helps identify a particular DTX? Dosage information is different in digital therapies compared to drugs. Medication strength, quality, quantity, do they really apply to PDTs, or do we need to repurpose these fields that already exist for drugs? Substitutions, DTX is new. There's not a lot of available there, and they don't. There's not a lot of like substitutions around it. So all of these needs to be considered. We need to look at whether existing fields can be applied. If not, we need to explore additional fields or additional standards. NCP-DPA is a good place to start, but of course, there's more work to be done. Next slide, please. So this is a quick overview of a PDT, prescription digital therapeutics ecosystem. We have ACPs prescribing it through different ways, electronic prescription through an e-prescription provider, goes into digital pharmacies or retail pharmacies or specialty, or even fax, phone, online. As I mentioned, there's so many other channels, right? So even online form fax, they are similar to what we have today, right? In terms of like drugs, but where it gets interesting is when the verification happens for medication, it needs to be fulfilled. And when it's fulfilled, it's typically done by a manufacturer who activates the product for the patient. And then patient goes and downloads the app, activates it, and then starts using it. And from there, additional data is generated that a lot of HCPs and clinicians are interested in getting that data for better insights about the patient. The lines in the orange are the areas where most of the needs are for standardization of workflow and data, because that's where a lot of the differences come in. The ones that are blue, either the already existing standards like HL7 FHIR in terms of EHR integration exist, or manufacturers have ability to use their own infrastructure and technology. Next slide, please. I'll take a few seconds Next slide, please. I'll take a few seconds just to highlight some of the needs that we have heard. There's a need to define DTX data more clearly, have a standard for it. EHR integration, heard from HCPs a lot that to reduce their burden, the prescription has to be from within EHR. The fulfillment of prescription, there's data exchanges that needs to happen between the manufacturer, between the pharmacies to the manufacturer and so forth. We need to have sound standards and guidelines for it. Again, NCPDP is a good place to start. They have existing standards. I know they are working on, they have a task force to expand on it. So those are good places to start. But again, the need is there right now. There's a lot of demand, a lot of need, good promises for high patient impact. Again, work has to be done to standardize workflow and data. Lastly, we've heard from our customers that medical, should we consider using adjudicating DTX claims using medical benefits versus pharmacy benefits, comparing it to things like continuous glucose monitoring, where there's a precedence to leverage medical benefits to adjudicate. That's all I had. I wanted to share perspective from our customers. Thank you so much for listening to me. If you have any further questions, feel free to email. And of course, we can chat on this webinar as well.
Ira, thank you. And I apologize for the miscommunication. We usually give our speakers about 5 minutes and we did start early. So I'm glad you were able to get through all your slides. So apologies for that miscommunication. No worries.
Thank you so much.
We do want to open up the discussion to our task force members and a reminder to our attendees to please go ahead and chat your comments also. Any questions from the task force? Hans.
Good morning. Thank you, Ivar, for your update and background there. Really appreciate that. As you started to go into some of the connectivity that is needed and where some standards organization may fit or not, is there at this point in time a community that is already active to identify those gaps and start to work with those organizations to close those gaps? Or is that work that still needs to start, a community still would have to form to make that, to help move that forward? Where are you on the progression of addressing those gaps?
Sorry, I have to admit that I'm not as involved in those communities, but there are certain communities that are starting to think about it, like at least lay out the requirements, lay out the needs. DTX Alliance is one, Digital Medicine Society is another one, NCPDP Task Force is another one, right? So there are certain initiatives that have started. Again, still we cannot stress the need for the standardization and the acceleration that is needed. Because what happened is the growth of technology is rapid. Digital evidence, there have been optimization in gathering digital evidence. So compared to a drug that takes years to gather evidence, digital therapeutics requires much less, not necessarily like a few days or a few weeks, still a few more than a year or so, but it's relatively less, right? So the rapid growth of technology and the constraints that we have is going to get compounded. So all the initiatives that we are having, great initiative, we need to accelerate that, in my opinion.
Ivar, thank you. My question is, there are, especially through the FDA, some requirements on digital therapeutics, including clinical decision support algorithms, use of artificial intelligence and other areas. Can you comment on basically what does that mean in terms of assuring that there's some standardized processes for patient safety, population bias, some of those areas?
Yeah. I'll try my best to answer that question from our observation working with our customers. I'm not going to claim that we have thoroughly evaluated each and every directive from FDA. But as we work with our customers, we have looked at specific directives and we have unpacked that. CDS, there have been few notable discussions around it from FDA, some guidelines around it. Typically, clinical decision supports are not necessarily considered digital therapeutics. It is definitely a digital medicine, for sure. Well, not necessarily. There are some guidelines, some criteria you have to meet to classify CDS as a digital medicine. Some don't have to. For instance, if a solution is relying heavily on or is sharing insights with an HCP, but letting clinicians make decision, the clinical decision support is supporting the clinician essentially. And that doesn't have to be a digital medicine, doesn't have the same risk classification. And then you mentioned AI. So AI is interesting, right? Because the AI has ability to learn, you know, continuously. So one of the things that we have understood, or we've worked with our customers, is to say, when we build an AI algorithm to integrate into digital therapeutics or digital medicine, we ensure there's explainability, and which is difficult, which is not easy, right? The way these technologies work, it's not easy to draw explainability about why certain decisions are made. But we recommend our customers to spend a lot of resources in mapping the data that was used to make certain predictions or come to certain conclusions, and spending a lot of time and resource in, once the decisions are made from the algorithm, looping it back to what data contributed to it, creating that explainability. So that's one important point. Another important point that we've been stressing to our customers is that AI predicts, feed the prediction back to retraining of the algorithm automatically. We've recommended to our customers not to do that for the time being, given when that happens, the model changes, the AI model changes, and FDA will have to, every model that changes, FDA will have to review it for risk. So those are some of the strategies we've been taking to ensure technology is, we can still leverage the strong technologies that can impact patient lives and human lives, but yet safeguard them by being a little defensive in areas where it can cause safety issues. So we've been encouraging our customers to behave that way. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, that was great. Thank you. Pooja?
Yeah, thanks for this presentation. Very helpful. Couple of things that I'm just, as a task force, we have to come up with recommendations for ONC. It appears, and we're starting to do some work around this as well with DTA, and kind of when I think about what you said earlier with the prescribing, right, there's already standards in place, all of that. So it would seem like a recommendation for ONC around digital therapeutics is, really it should follow, there shouldn't be any difference in terms of being able to prescribe these digital therapeutics if they're in the EHR workflow. So I guess a question to you is, from our standpoint, from the task force standpoint, or should the recommendations that we're thinking about be more toward kind of collecting this patient data and doing that? Is it some of the gaps that you identified, if it's covered under the medical benefit? What's your, if you had a wish list, I would say, what would be your wish list for kind of recommendations, kind of move these therapies forward?
Yeah. So I do agree there are standards that exist to prescribe electronically, right? I've worked with at least three customers directly who have not figured out what's the least friction, most scalable approach to integrating the prescription of their product within an EHR. The reason being, a lot of these existing standards, and I'm not saying we should change the interoperability standards, right? By no means I'm saying that, or significantly change it. I think it needs to be, either the standard needs to account for some of the key differences. Like for example, a PDT, when you transmit data of a drug using NCPDP standards or other standards, you're sending certain data, which some of which may not be applicable to PDTs. And then we may not be collecting certain data that may be applicable to PDT. For example, it was in the slide, right? These PDTs depend on a patient's device. What should be the device's minimum requirements, right? What should be the operating system versions of those operating systems? Things like that needs to, and there may be fields existing within those standards that can be repurposed or new fields could be added. My recommendation would be to look at these standards and the fields that the standards expose to systems that are interoperating and explore which of these can be reused, repurposed, and which ones do we need to add additional fields? And what is the guideline if you want to repurpose it? A strong guideline, so every most providers and most system, most providers, most pharmacies, and most manufacturers use the same standard. So when they send the data, everybody's reading in the same way, and there's no reason for confusion and no reason for issues like that. My wish list would be, if you really ask me, is to standardize the way one, the EHRs embed or integrate new technologies with respect to PDTs. There is a bit of a gap there about getting, once a PDT is manufactured, getting that into it. To me, that's of a lower priority, but I think there is a bigger pain point once. So pharmacists are very, and somebody asked this question, what's the role of pharmacists? Pharmacists' role is very important. We've heard from a lot of our customers, a lot of our patients, right, who we've done primary research with, that they are very comfortable with talking to pharmacists. They've built a relationship with them, especially in the case of specialty pharmacies. So they are a very important stakeholder in training, in educating patients, in guiding them through some of the concerns they may have. HCPs, clinicians are one of them. Pharmacists is another group of that stakeholder. And they have this existing infrastructure and connections to do benefit verification. So that can be beneficial. But looping all of that back to how, once the benefits have been verified, how does the manufacturer get the data and activate the patient's therapy? That's an area that we need to spend some time figuring, standardizing it. Different organizations do it in different ways. There has to be some standards so that, again, for pharmacies, it's easier to scale. The data exchange is standard and less confusion, less issues. So that would be my another area of interest.
Well, thank you. We've had a lot of discussion in the chat. Go ahead, Hans.
Yeah, I would like to follow up on the last point that you made on some of the primary topics, and I'm trying to tease out a little bit more based on a comment I made in the chat as well. There is the prescribing part and the resulting part in a way, and it seems that in that area there are a variety of standards available. It might be more of a configuration question to ensure that systems can manage that. But then there's the other interactions between the digital therapeutics device and a variety of environments that I'm trying to understand what is in that space, some of the key areas that you're looking at, where you may need more information from an EHR. I'm just going to go through something. Is there anything that that once it has been ordered, there's now a need to interact for these devices to get information from the EHR to provide better impact context? Is there more information that is needed back in addition to the actual results themselves? Is there other information that may need to be interacted with the pharmacy system? I'm trying to get a little bit of a high level general sense of where are those interactions, where do you think the biggest pain points are to move this forward beyond the I can prescribe and I can get a result back?
Yeah, I mean benefits, like, you know, eligibility's benefits, you know, reimbursement is a big pain point. I think it's something that's it's a big pain point from incentivizing manufacturers to continue to innovate. This is why that a comment from one of our customers was, should we explore medical benefit versus pharmacy benefit? I've been in some of these webinars, and I've heard the strong case for pharmacy, to give me it as pharmacy benefit. So that's one aspect of it, right? From a manufacturer standpoint, from a patient SCP standpoint, there's still some work needs to happen to have this circular way to optimize, right? Improve. So data is being collected, the data goes into EHR. Then based on that EHR, how do you, you know, change the patient's treatment regimen, right? In general, a lot of these therapies are not, they're not necessarily, like you have, let's say, 12 week to go through the therapy, you go through the therapy, and then data is collected, vitals, whatever the endpoints that that the therapists try to influence, those are collected. But given the current setup, it's not very easy to change treatment regimens right away, given how the given the flow of data that needs to happen, but also, you know, accountability of, okay, what data is being used to come to that conclusion, you know, how you know, what happens, you know, who needs to see this data to say, okay, there's a, the patient has been on this therapy, now we need to update the therapy because of, you know, either not seeing improvement or not. Like being able to have that flexibility within, in terms of the treatment regimen, in the pharma, in the prescription itself, or in the fulfillment space, place, more configurability of that would be beneficial. But I feel like a lot of that is also the manufacturers, right? Manufacturers need to be able to have that configurability, have that ability to see, and it has to be evidence-driven. It can't be just like, oh yeah, I can give you a technical solution. Technical solutions are easy compared, I'm not saying easy, like of course, compared to evidence, it's easier, right? So it has to be evidence-driven that if I change the treatment 6 months down the road, I can make it feasible without causing any patient safety. So those would be my areas of, say, other than the no-brainers.
Thank you.
And somebody just mentioned it would be helpful for pharmacists to view changes in therapy based on clinician monitoring of DTX. I agree with that. I think that's an important piece. In fact, we have also heard from pharmacists that while we are not, while we are not a clinician, patients come to us and talk about, oh, I still have headache. Like, when will that go away? And having that training to pharmacists that is data-driven is very beneficial. Of course, they can't consult. They can't say, oh, yeah, you go take this medication. But they can be empathetic and they can share their perspective from that lens. That would be beneficial.
Thank you, Arbor. Any other comments from our task force? If not, we're going to move on to our topic one and topic two review recommendations. Thank you so much, Ivar. You're more than welcome to stay on if you'd like, or we'll go ahead and continue with our work. I'll turn it over to Hans.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. So we are going to go then look at recommendations to date and continue the progress that we made with reviewing them. If you can put up the spreadsheet, and let's start with topic one. We pick it up there. And along the way, if based on the discussion that we just had around digital therapeutics and some of the other ones on specialty therapeutics, if you have any suggestions for recommendations, please add them to the topic three recommendation tab. Okay. So let's start at E2. You'll see that we have started to put text in green. And just as a brief reminder, everything that is starting to shift today to green as well is going to be moved into the Word document where we're going to progress our editing and organizing to make it flow better, make it connect further. And that could also yield some updates there. But green indicates that we effectively have general agreement that this is an appropriate recommendation and rationale to go in, and that we are moving it out of the spreadsheet phase and into the Word document phase. So what we wanted to do today is check up on progress made with a couple of follow-ups that we had in the recommendation that are not yet green in the first couple of rows. And then we're going to continue with reviewing the rest and try to get as many as possible flipped over.
Can you move in a little bit?
I'm sorry, I'm not presenting. So if somebody else can enlarge a little bit, would be great.
Sorry for interrupting.
No worries. Any other questions up front before we jump in? Okie doke. So the first one, there we go. Great. Is this better, Ike?
Yes, sir.
All right. So in the first one, I'm going to be looking on my screen on a slightly larger spreadsheet. I'm not going to be able to follow exactly hands up or not. So Shelley, keep me honest if I'm missing somebody.
I will.
So in the first one is that we have R2. We had a couple of updates that were highlighted in red. I was going to look a little bit further at that and wanted to check in. Updates, additional ones that you were thinking of, or do we think that we have it ready for review?
I think we do. I mean, there's a minor typo. Maybe prescribe should probably have a space in it, but.
Okay. So let's look at this. So that what we have right now is that recommend that ONC work with pharmacies, pharmacists, and public health organizations, including CDC and STILTS, to provide education, awareness, and where needed, further policy guidance to pharmacies, pharmacists regarding submission of case reports, immunization, laboratory, laboratory results reporting, syndromic surveillance reporting, and other data collected by public health agencies, as well as capabilities already available, opportunities, and need for bidirectional exchange between public health organizations, pharmacies, and pharmacists. This should include addressing supporting standards available to report this information to comply with current reporting requirements and mechanisms and capabilities for pharmacy and pharmacists to access public health information. Any further thoughts on that, or do we feel that we have the recommendation reasonably nailed down to move that into the Word documents? Any comments or questions on that? And as you go through, looking at the rationale, further thoughts to be modified or added there, or do we think that we have that also? And that one, I'm not sure whether that's fully visible. That's always the hard part with-
I want to scroll down a little bit.
There is more, but-
I think you have to click, don't you have to, click on it to make it.
Double click on it, try to edit it, you will get the rest. And we'll get to, and then we can look at the other ones easier as well.
That's better.
I don't see any
other. Scott has a question. Scott?
Moved, I have to find it again. In the rationale, the second sentence, is maybe convoluted. There's a need for pharmacists and pharmacies to understand reporting requirements. No. What happened to? I'm sorry, I lost it. If I find it again, I'll raise my hand.
Is it where she's got it highlighted?
No, there was a problem about sharing data. Maybe up in the green. Can you scroll up into the green just for a second?
If it's in the green,
it should be done.
Yes.
No, I don't.
So Scott, in the green, I would suggest that if you can make a note separately, if we need to catch something that that a sentence didn't roll very well, we could do that.
No, that's not in there. I lost it when the things shifted. I'll look for it, and if I find it, I'll raise my hand again.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Nope, go ahead.
Okay, then we're going to, for now, take the red out, and we turn that in green. Let's go to R3 then.
Actually, on one last thing on R2, should we write public health agencies, not organizations?
Okay, no. Let's make that as a general note that we will, and then we can use PHA as an abbreviation where needed as well. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Okay. We'll make that as a general added note. Thank you. Let's go to R3. Recommend that ONC initiate a collaborative initiative with the patient, caregiver, pharmacy, pharmacists, other providers, and public health agencies, including CDC and STILS, to prioritize use cases focusing on bidirectional data sharing and or exchange among pharmacies, pharmacists, and other providers to patients' medical records held by each entity as part of the care team under emergency use interventions, as well as during normal operation. Within established privacy policies and patient consent directives, patients should have expanded access to disclosure information from what is in practice today, including disclosures for PTO to improve accountability regarding exchange. And that update should have hopefully addressed Alexis' comment as well. So particularly Alexis, interested to know, did we catch it in that part or not quite yet? And there's a question.
Trying to absorb, reread it and absorb it. I'm not.
Okay. Nope.
Not seeing what my comment was originally to be able to answer your question. Right now it sounds okay, but I'll look at it again.
Yeah, and your original comment is if you go to D.
Adding patients and caregivers.
Yes, and I think that was D7, if I'm not mistaken. That's we can look it up where exactly it was, but it's.
I think it looks okay for now. If I see something else, I'll let you know.
Okay. And then I see Devin's comment about PTO. Do we have a typo that it should be TPO? And that it's treatment payment operations or treatment payment operations? Which direction does it go?
Yeah, I've never seen it abbreviated as PTO before because that says Patent and Trademark Office to me. But I think as long as we spell it out, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Yeah. And paid time off to others. So yeah, TPO is usually what people use.
Okay. So, I got that one.
We should spell it out.
Yeah. Honest. I just spelled it out.
Thanks.
So, and then we can reference that later accordingly. So we'll remove for now, Alexa. Alexa, we'll keep your question still there. Just come back then if we still missed something. The next part of the recommendation is access by public health agencies, including STILTS and CDC, to patient health records maintained by pharmacies and pharmacists, and for pharmacies and pharmacists to access relevant public health data for their patient populations. And then overall, and identify the appropriate relevant data sets, such as those captured during pharmacist e-care plan in communication with payers, for these use cases to ensure the correct and necessary data is shared for the use case at hand. Typo there that we'll catch. Any other comments on the recommendation, considering that there is still a little bit of fine tuning on the sentence flow and may have to chop it up in one or two sentences? And anything on the rationale as you move into that part to make sure? I'm not seeing any hands.
This is like, I just make sure we're clear on looking at the disclosure stuff, because disclosure components that we're clear enough on that we don't want to, that if we can, we want to take a step forward in disclosure information for patients, not stay at the status quo.
And do we feel that the statement that says, including disclosures for TPO to improve accountability regarding exchange, is that sufficient? Or do you feel like that more needs to be stated?
I think we're good. I just want to make sure that we're good with the rest of the folks, that people understand in general what our goal is.
Okay. In that context, anybody else? Scott, I see you have your hand raised.
I'm wondering, there's a On R3 rationale, there's a parenthetical in the second line. This is not necessarily all the patients of all the medication a patient has. I'm wondering if that's referring to prescriptions possibly from other pharmacists, other pharmacies, or directly dispensed, or if it's that the patient is like recently discharged and had a series of medications that are pertinent.
Are you suggesting that we should say rather than access to the patient's pertinent medication list rather than complete, and then we can strike the
possibly beyond what that pharmacy has?
I think part of the complicator is that the medication list in the EHR does not always reflect all medications that the patient has. The owner of the EHR record is even aware of. In other words, something got stuck in a patient note because there was no place to put it in the medication list.
Yeah, I'm just... I see what it's trying to say.
If you have
Afton has a decent thing in chat. All medications that are pertinent to the.
And maybe I just made a brief update there. If you can refresh the if you close the cell and open it back up again. There is that statement. What I changed it to is pharmacists need access to the patient's pertinent medication list, particularly medication beyond the immediate knowledge of the pharmacist, and then continue. Something like that, and then we can wordsmith it further. And does that stick with Afton's note as well?
Well, and I'll look at further wordsmithing because we have a lot to go through.
Okay. So when you can look at that and ask, is this the right direction that we're heading? And then we can work on it further.
Yeah, I think so. I was just trying to point out, you know, to see any medication possible is the best scenario for a pharmacist, so we can make sure there's no drug or interactions with anything that we're adding or taking away. So anything we can get is good information. And Scott, I'm happy to work with you if you want me to help wordsmith.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm marking it up as Scott and Afton to double check the second sentence. And then we can move that along. Other than that, any other comments beyond that we need to address before we then can move it green as soon as we have Scott and Afton's feedback? I don't see any hands. All right. Then we go on to the next part. Then we're going to go to E3. Let's see. There were a couple of updates that on R10 recommend that ONC collaborate with CMS. The first one, Anna Puja Ike, we're going to provide an update. Is this currently reflective of some follow-ups that you may have done?
I haven't gotten together with anyone, but I don't know if we have that even scheduled yet. I apologize.
I went in and I made some recommendations in red in the current draft.
Okay. So maybe then as a follow-up that we'll skip this one that gives Pooja the chance to review further as well. I think Anna is traveling at the moment, so she might not be able to look at it. And then let her know as soon as you're done, then we can move that forward and review next time.
Yeah, and I just quickly reviewed what I wrote. I'm actually good with that. I think what he wrote makes sense.
Okay. Any other comments? Then it sounds like that we can move this one to green, and then adjusting the colors otherwise. Great. Let's look then at R11. recommend that ONC work with CMS, TILTS, and other relevant agencies to develop an incentive structure so that prescribing providers and patients can be accurately informed at the point of care. I think it's done with information regarding the availability of prescribed recommended medication intervention at the pharmacy selected by the patient, and the prescription has been sent referred. I think we have a bit of a long sentence there that we need to work through. Not sure whether Christian, Anna, Afton, Alexis had a further chance to look at it as well, and that might still be part of the review also to split it up and make it a little bit easier.
Afton?
We have a meeting scheduled this afternoon at 2 to look at it. I know Anna's out right now, but we were just going to take a look at it. But in looking at this, I don't see any huge issues with it other than, I guess I was getting caught up over the fact that I know that our inventory changes, or a pharmacist's inventory changes a lot. And I think I was just trying to look at it from the the prescriber's perspective and the patient at the point of prescribing. If let's say a provider pings the pharmacy and, you know, do you have this in stock? And right at that moment they don't, but they can order it the next day and have it in there. I think that's where I was going with, like, let's just focus on a use case for urgent medications, because then we can find where the drug is if the patient needs to pick it up in like the next hour or two. Let's say it's an antibiotic, they want to get on it right away. But if it's something that can wait for another day or so, how would the prescriber respond? Would they be responsible for pinging another pharmacy to find out when, in fact, the original pharmacy could just get it in 24 hours? I was just thinking through like the different scenarios that could kind of come up from that. And trying to, you know, make it a little bit more nuanced in what we could actually do, because it's someone, you know, was talking about how a hospital does this today, and community pharmacies, you're getting people that come in and out all the time, patients picking up medications, we have them, you know, leaving the pharmacy, coming in on the shelf for somebody. So there's a lot of different ways that it couldn't work. I just wanted to make sure that there weren't any unrealistic expectations from the patient at the point of prescribing, if they go in and it's not in stock because it was dispensed that day or something, things change so frequently. I think that's just where Christian and I were coming from with our concerns. But if we wanted to study this, like let's say in this recommendation, I'm okay with that, a cross-sectional workshop just to kind of see how this would work. I just don't know if it would be super accurate all the time. Those are just my thoughts on it. And I'm open to discussion or thinking about how to rework this.
And you did indicate that you're going to be meeting this afternoon with this the group?
Yeah, we are.
So why don't we then, as you follow up there, you might have an updated statement from that, and we'll pick it up then next week again to see where we're at.
Sounds good.
Alexis? Okay. Alexis? Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. We're going to talk about it as a small group after this meeting, but I just wanted to add, as I brought up last meeting, it goes beyond what's in stock currently. It goes to whether or not it can even be ordered, and whether there's a shortage on that drug and you may need to switch to a different dose or a different drug altogether. So I think we're missing all of that here, but we can discuss that as a group later.
That would be great if you can review that and see how that can be worked in, or either inside the one recommendation or that we need to split it up.
Yes.
Heike, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to claim that the responsibility for making the suggested changes in red, in case anyone was curious about where they came from. And I had intentionally used information regarding the availability rather than trying to come up with the definitive of, yes, it's in stock, no, it's not. I could imagine that could be very, very complex across a pharmacy network where, yes, there are large players that may have a consolidated inventory system, like, you know, the Walgreens and CVS's of the world. But thinking about the independent pharmacists, smaller pharmacies that may not be as connected in, I could envision it be rather complicated to have a real-time accurate inventory. So it might be that it could compromise, might be just information regarding the availability. In some cases, yes, it's in stock, yes, it can be ordered, et cetera, et cetera.
Hans, there was a David Butler posted a question, and I don't know if David wants to speak on this, but there was an overall question of the difference between pharmacists and pharmacy. David, did you want to speak to it, or you want me to read the chat?
Um, it, I, the chat will probably cover most of what I'm thinking of, but I'll be glad I think it's important to address it. So thank you for the time. If I might just sidestep just a second, the comment on Ike's concern about the independent pharmacy. One thing that occurs to me, Ike, with that is that most of the independents are utilize systems that are provided by the pharmaceutical supplier companies, the McKessons and the like. So they typically do have networks that can tell them which products are available in the local distribution center and when they can receive it and things like that. So there is backup, I think, on that regard that would give them access to that information for inventory.
But if I hear correctly from this comment, is that you would suggest that we are not referring to pharmacies and pharmacists, but that we keep it with pharmacists unless there's a really good reason to have the pharmacy, the organization, called out.
Exactly. And to expand and correct some of what I had in there, the pharmacist is responsible for all patient care information, all the data. It's not the pharmacy that's responsible. So I think we're implicating the wrong individuals or wrong entities if we combine the two. Plus, it's the pharmacist who's the practitioner. And to me, that's where we're trying to focus. So it should be the pharmacist who receives the information, not the pharmacy.
And if it's topics along inventory and otherwise, more the operational topics, then you would be okay with using the term pharmacy so that we figure out where we can include it and where not?
For purposes of storage and security and such like that, absolutely. If the inventory has an effect on patient care, then it's the pharmacist who has the responsibility.
So we'll look at the recommendations and please help us with that as we go through to make sure that when to include just one or both or the other.
I'll be glad to. And in regard to that, there's one other expansion to that, because we were talking previously about the fact that there's pharmacists and then there are other providers. Quite often, because of the uniqueness of pharmacy in this role, the pharmacist is sometimes the dispenser, but it's also sometimes the other provider, because the pharmacist can prescribe, can administer, as we're seeing with immunizations, and so can participate on the provider side in roles that either they may be also the dispenser or they may be completely separate from the dispenser. So we're going to have to be careful about where we place the pharmacist in these categorizations too.
Fair point. And I think as part of describing overall, the terminology that we're trying to use to stick within the terminology of 21st Century Cures Act and otherwise, that we need to clarify that when we say pharmacist, we are meant to be inclusive of the variety and all the authorities that they have and other providers, everybody else that's not also otherwise a pharmacist. Let's try to see how we can work that.
Well, and ultimately, you can't have a pharmacy without a pharmacist. So I see David's point. Looks like Stephen.
Yeah, I just want to build on David's point and take issue with a small piece of it. I think insofar as possible, we should try to track the way we approach pharmacists and pharmacies in the same way we approach physicians and other licensed providers and the facilities in which they work, clinics, hospitals, et cetera. I'm not sure it's accurate to say that the pharmacist is the individual with legal authority over all information any more than you would say that about a physician. I mean, I work in a clinic inside a health system. You know, each entity has legal authority based on, you know, how the rules are structured and how the IT systems are managed, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that I love the idea of being very specific in our use of the term pharmacist, you know, that they are a provider, they are licensed, we are discussing supporting them and being able to be a part of the care team like any other provider. But I don't think that we should like start a whole new way of thinking about pharmacists and pharmacies, but it should track very much to how we refer to physicians and the facilities in which they work.
Great point. And let's as we try to define it better as part of the document, make sure that that's clear enough, knowing that this is a, also an area with some gray zones in between. Summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks, Han. So actually, Stephen just said a lot of what I would have said a moment ago. So I agree completely with what he said. The only last thing I'll add is I do think it's important to distinguish pharmacist and pharmacy. And particularly in terms of the recommendations here, you know, a lot of what we're ultimately recommending in terms of standard adoption and certification, that more so falls on the pharmacy as an entity. So similar to the comments earlier about a medical office or a hospital being oftentimes the responsible party to incorporate and adopt a standard as opposed to the individual clinician on site. I would only suggest that as we ensure that we're being particular about that language, pharmacist versus pharmacy, in particular, any point at which it becomes a recommendation for ONC to encourage adoption or certification of some kind of standard, that really be at the level of the pharmacy organization as opposed to the individual pharmacist.
So that will go back to that we need to really be careful that, I mean, two things. One is that when to use pharmacist or pharmacies or both, but it also sounds like that we never should use pharmacy slash pharmacist. It's always that we can address them as separate, that may both need to be involved in a recommendation or one or the other. Any other comments at this point in time? So we'll get
more. Han, sorry, to Pooja's question, are pharmacists covered under providers? It depends on whose definition you're looking at, right? I mean, we've been through this before. There's a CMS definition of providers, there's an information blocking definition of providers, and there seems to be some mismatch between them. I think Shelley, Devin, and others know more detail on this, but I don't think there's one single clear answer that we can hang our hat on.
Which makes it a little challenging for us in how we're going to phrase this.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate that.
Okay, let's move on then. So we will get more information from the team on R11 and also in context of this. Let's look at R12. We had indicated last time that R12, as currently written, is out of scope. And therefore, unless somebody had an other way of phrasing it, is that we are going to put this on the out of scope list. Did anybody have any that they're working on to be aware of, or otherwise we're going to mark it as out of scope? Not seeing or hearing any comments. Out of scope it is at this point in time.
I'm sorry, I didn't get my mute button off correctly. This is the one that I think I was supposed to take a look at, and I thought I made changes to it in the spreadsheet. I know I did. So I'm not sure if you're seeing those. Is this the one, or was it a different?
There is a different one.
Does it get lost in these cells?
There is a different one where you were called out to provide a rewording, and I'm just trying to go down where that was.
I think this one.
If it's the metrics one, Hans, I think it was like R6.
Well, that one as well. But this one I was put in with regard to PBMs and their coverage and the formulary changes and making.
David, can we follow up on this?
Alexis may have.
Because I'm not seeing some of the red marks there, and I just want to double check with an older version to make sure we got the right place. So we'll follow up on this one specifically to make sure we didn't miss out, because there was definitely one that you were going to try to phrase something in a way that it could be in scope.
Yeah.
And it might have been that we are just not quite seeing the change and the red line.
And this is Alexis. I just heard my name, but I think you're referencing Anna.
That may well be. Sorry.
Okay. So we'll come back to R12 and R13 and 14. We already made them green. We know that they're going to be further aligned with some of the other comments that were made to line them up better, which means we're going to go to the next spot, And this is where we left off that we have not looked at before. So we're now looking at R15 in R7. R15 indicates, recommend that ONC recognize interactions between pharmacists and other providers as a critical component. I think we have one word too many there. I'll drop that. As a critical component of trusted exchange frameworks, treatment exchange purpose, and address the barriers and encourage education for pharmacies and pharmacists to join the TEF as it's operationalized. This should address both the ability for pharmacists to query other providers, as well as other providers querying pharmacies for patient data. Any thoughts and comments, recognizing that we still have this work of pharmacies and pharmacists, particularly in this one, where we're going back and forth?
Ike?
Friendly amendment, I think it should probably be ONC work with the RCE in that space.
Okay, though, we'll work that in because yes, it is a both ONC and RCE. So we'll work that in. We'll make that comment. Thank you.
David.
Maybe I'm getting a little too picky here, but it seems to me that when we use the term other providers, shouldn't that be any provider throughout rather than using the term other? It seems like it'd be more specific. We really want all providers, any provider with whom the pharmacist could interact with. It just seems more exact in terminology to me.
Would it be any other providers?
I think just any provider, a pharmacist interacting with any provider.
Okay, let's mark that for a moment to make sure, because we're trying to figure out is that other providers, if we say pharmacist, and other providers that are not pharmacists, but here you're saying is that it's pharmacist and any provider, which could be other pharmacists or other providers.
Yes.
Got it. Any concerns if we do that? We may still have to do to further tweak that, but I'll mark this any and strike through other, but we need to look at that further with the rest. Be consistent.
This is Steve Real. It should probably be wordsmithing level, a pharmacist and other providers and any other provider, something in that space, because as Evan pointed out, pharmacists are a pharmacist that is not the first pharmacist is another provider.
Right. And that's where we need to make sure that we got it straight in our definition.
And my concern was just other is not a, from a relational viewpoint, it is not a global term. It doesn't cover the full set of providers, where yep, any provider would be the full set of providers
in that particular context. And
yeah.
And I agreed is that we have to go through everything here to make sure all the recommendations that we use, other providers, any providers, pharmacists, pharmacies correctly because of the overlapping terms that we have as they're being used.
And it may indeed not be every other provider of other types. I can't say for sure one way or the other, you know, durable medical equipment or some other esoteric kind of provider type that there may not be a direct connection. I don't know.
Okay. Other than
that's that's a good point. Should it be healthcare provider?
I thought that provider was implied to be healthcare providers.
Then that takes care of Stephen's comment, I think, from my viewpoint. Thanks.
Pooja.
Yeah, in the rationale in R15, I noticed there's some red text that was put in where they are part of the test to treat process. And I know we're specifically referring to public health emergencies. I'm just wondering if that is going to limit us if in a future public health emergency, it goes beyond test and treat. So I don't know if we need that specific.
Yeah, I agree, Pooja. I don't think we want to artificially limit ourselves.
Yeah. So you would suggest to strike that?
Yeah, strike what's in red. Because it should just be part of emergency use interventions and normal operations.
Okay. I just struck it. So if you do a refresh of the cell, you should see that. Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Or do we feel that just that with all the general wordsmithing that we need to do, that that we are okay with this recommendation rationale and it can start to move into the Word document as green? And then we work it from there. Not hearing or double checking, seeing? Nope, not seeing anybody else. Or 16. Recommend that ONC recognizes the pharmacist-public health interactions and reporting as a critical component of TAF's public exchange purpose and address the barriers to consistent standardized data elements and formats across the public health community, including CDC and STILTS, considering reporting frameworks such as APL's case reporting approach. This not only applies to pharmacy interoperability, but all reporting to public health by all providers. Any comments, thoughts, adjustments? Not hearing or seeing anything. Summer.
Oh, thanks, Hans. Yeah, I think you know, my only comment is that using generically the term public health or public health agency is very, very broad. There's a lot of sort of components in a public health agency, some of which can be very different. There are clinical components, there are sort of, you know, emergency management components and more routine surveillance components. So I don't know how much, you know, it's worth doing here, but it seems like we ought to be at least a little bit more specific what we mean by public health and what that level of engagement is.
Where would you tie that further to specific subset of public health in that sense?
Yeah, so I think, you know, number one would be public health departments where there may be clinical services that are offered. So it may be coordinating vaccines, for example, you know, medications for treatment of certain conditions. Sexually transmitted diseases and other outbreak sorts of things. I think that might be one component. And then, you know, more routine surveillance would be a sort of different component of public health, reporting data. So again, I guess immunization registry comes to mind there, condition reporting, disease registries, that kind of thing. You know, so I'm open to other comments here, especially those that are deeper in the public health community. But I think there's a lot of facets to a public health organization that probably represents some more nuance than what's here.
I would agree that that's true. I think for the purposes of recommendation, I think we probably want to be a little bit broad, perhaps calling attention to some as examples, but not necessarily limiting. I also just noticed we probably need to correct the APHL line a little bit. That's more editorial than anything else.
Okay, so, but what we could do is that in the last sentence, this not only applies to pharmacy interoperability, but all reporting to public health by all providers is to public health agencies. That would help maybe clarify that in that context, we're talking about the agencies.
Yeah, maybe it's a combination of the term public health departments, which are more local, you know, typically county and potentially state, as well as agencies, you know, like a CDC, which is more federal.
Well, using the term public health agency is inclusive of both. There are many local health, well, as an example, in Texas, there are some local health entities that are not local health departments because the local health department is required under state law to provide a certain set of services. Some of them don't, so they're local health entities, but they indeed are engaged in surveillance and healthcare delivery services. But they're not providing some things like health or restaurant inspections and some other things, so they don't make the state definition of a health department.
So do we need to include both terms?
Agencies is sufficient.
Okay, that would cover both sufficiently. Some are okay with that?
Yes and no. So I see the point. I guess still, you know, I think we earlier on talked about public health emergencies and the idea of being able to coordinate something like a COVID outbreak, which to me is a very different use case than coordinating sort of routine surveillance and management of communicable diseases. So maybe that's the way to parse it is, you know, emergency management versus routine surveillance and management.
Yeah, and I think that through the conversations and discussion that we see that a number or actually many of the recommendations that are appropriate for emergency use interventions are actually also appropriate for normal operations because of the general expansion of the pharmacist role that is not limited to only at time of emergency, but also in normal operations, maybe not as wide, but that effectively the kind of interoperability that we're looking for still remains in a similar need, unless we can call out that there's something specific and unique to an emergency use intervention that goes above and beyond what you otherwise need.
Just a reminder, we've got 4 minutes before public comment. Alexis?
Yeah, I just thought by rereading this one, I think maybe at the end, although it's in the rationale, adding reporting to public health by all providers, adding at the end of that something about patient consent. So again, it's in the rationale with patient consent directives, but I think it's important at the end of the actual recommendation. So we're not just saying at any time without consent by patients, you can share the information.
Okay, for public health reporting, under HIPAA, public health is authorized, providers are authorized to report data to public health without patient authorization?
I think in some cases, I don't think 100% of the time that that's true.
If for public health purposes, there is specific wording in there. I don't think it delineates too much. Sorry, go ahead, Hans.
Right. I just typed something in that might be able to address both. If you refresh the cell, within privacy policies and patient consent directives and where they apply, where they're not necessary, they are not necessary, but that it's within the authority of that, of what can be shared or not, however established. Would that help that it still like provides the widespread within public health does have the access based on privacy policies and general policies, but where they exist, they are in play as well.
We've not seen the revised text as yet. And
I was going to say the same, that I can't see it. But my thought is that if it's in the rationale, it needs to be as part of the recommendation. So just throw in the same exact thing at the end with patient consent, you know, in coordination with patient consent directives as warranted, something like that. Otherwise, it shouldn't be in the rationale then either. And my point is that people read recommendations. They don't always read rationales. And it's important that it's there.
So if you
SL team, can you refresh the screen, please? Or the
if you close the cell and then go back in again.
And as a placeholder, I'll take care of it after we get offline. Minor change regarding APHL's case reporting, just as wordsmithing, because it's really case reporting. It doesn't necessarily belong to APHL or the ones that are currently performing that service.
So I refreshed on my side again. If you can refresh again, maybe that works this time around, because it's interesting that it was not showing. And while that's done, do we believe that with this adjustment, but we need to see it a little bit better, you go down to... Interesting. We have to fix that. I put something in, but
there might be other individuals clicked into the cell. So maybe if others come out, it'll work.
And this is a friendly administrative request. Can we consider moving all of the recommendations into a different worksheet in a single column and putting each recommendation in a single cell? I was having a real
We're in the process of doing that. Ike, I do want to stop the conversation now. We're ready for public comment.
With one last question, very quickly, if you can, is that, we'll do that after the public comment to confirm something, and maybe that refreshes and better.
All right. Thank you, Hans and Shelley. We're going to open up our meeting for verbal public comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause this for a moment to see if any members of the public would like to make a comment. Not seeing any hands raised yet, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye. So let's go back to 16. Maybe that time was sufficient for the system to catch up, or 15, I should say, to ensure that that made it. Now in mine, it disappeared. We'll have to apply it separately because I think somebody else must have been in that cell making updates and overwrote that. Let's skip that for a moment, that we can try to fix that. At 17, let's look at that one. And then we come back to 16 in a moment, because for some reason it didn't hold. Recommend that ONC collaborates with the pharmacies and other providers, including their HRT supplies, appropriate reporting mechanisms directly from pharmacy to care team members and vice versa, i.e. push messaging, rather than solely relying on respective queries for information. And Devin, you had a comment that it might be missing something. Not sure whether that was sufficiently addressed or whether that other...
No, there's no verb in that sentence. I don't understand what we're asking for here. So, okay, so we want ONC to collaborate with their support to establish appropriate reporting mechanisms directly from the pharmacy.
Yep.
What's okay? Because that's there's a verb missing. I just didn't know what we were asking. Okay.
Now I know where you were looking. I was I did not get that. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But with that taken care of, is that clarifying? And is that then in line with what we were thinking?
Yeah. So it's to establish appropriate reporting mechanisms. Okay.
Let's see if you can refresh that that cell. I just updated that.
I do think it's important to say what reporting of what is kind of important. Are we reporting things about prescription status? Are we what's being reported or exchanged here?
I think it's the information of interest. So it goes to our use case of bidirectional in topic 2 of bidirectional exchange of relevant data, clinical data, otherwise that needs to be shared. And
so it might be good to say clinical data or something, appropriate push-based clinical data or something in that space, so there's clarity about what's being reported.
Fair point. So that as it becomes available, lab tests are done or otherwise that are immediately of interest, that they can be pushed back rather than that they sit waiting for querying.
And is that supposed to be bidirectional, again, for clarity, is it supposed to be bidirectional?
Yes, and vice versa.
Okay, I guess I'm a little confused. What would get pushed automatically or automagically to the pharmacist? And what would be the action causing that data to be pushed?
I think that's to be worked out to refine that further, but it would address the question of, as data becomes available either in the by the pharmacist or the pharmacy or the other care team members, what information needs to be immediately pushed and what can wait for query. I think that needs to be established. I don't think we have the answer exactly what data that is, other than that clinical data being generated needs to be able to find its way in a timely fashion to the other parties.
Right, so friendly amendment. I think the other piece is trigger conditions is also part of this conversation.
Fair point, and that can be clarified that that's part of reporting mechanisms, includes the trigger mechanisms and the actual data and the timing thereof. Any other comments I see is that even though I type in things and then refresh, it doesn't quite pop up. So we have a little bit of a snag there. But with those updates,
Hans, it may be that someone else got into the field before you did, and therefore anything you try to type in would be lost. So if anybody else is in the field, they should get out so you can manage it.
So I'm not sure who's currently control of the display version. Okay, if you can stay out for a moment. And then I'll make one other comment here at trigger events. And I probably want to change vice versa to bi-directional to maintain consistency there. Okay, let me hit enter and see whether at this point in time, if you refresh and open it up, that you can see it.
It may very well be that different trigger events may be relevant to different providers. You know, I could envision a trigger event of, hey, a new prescription would trigger a bunch of other data being sent from the author, from the prescribing provider, where looking at like a lab test or a lab test result from a pharmacy-based test could get sent, that test result being available.
Right.
Something like that.
And I think that needs to be worked out. That's the intent, that it works it out, not that we have the answer today to that.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was just one minor example that's not well thought out.
Yeah. I think the use case is ADT information, admission, discharge, transfer, is one of the use cases that has been brought up.
It's one of the ones where push messages are of interest. The other one that was brought up, lab results become available. How do we make sure, and that was particularly from pharmacists to other care providers and on the care team, how do we make sure that they get as quickly as possible back, or do you wait for a query to pick them up whenever?
Right, or I could envision, as I mentioned earlier, a trigger event of writing a script. In addition to the script, you get the relevant information coming along as a run.
We are getting close to the top of the hour.
Yeah, Pooja has a question. Do you want to?
Yeah, just a comment on that same one. Can we put in maybe the example, the two examples we just talked about, the ADT and the new lab result? Just, I think that would be helpful for definition. Thanks.
And that also nicely shows both directions a little bit easier.
And if I could add one other one that's a good example that the pharmacist always needs, is just knowing the diagnosis that the prescription was for.
Okay.
Critical. Sometimes, though, it's indication, and they don't use formal ICD diagnosis terms, right?
Correct.
Exactly.
Could be one or the other, or both.
Or some.
Okay. We are about to have to wrap up, but do we have enough that we feel this, that with the comments made, we have a little bit of follow-up to do, because we could not quite see on R16 the addition in the recommendation, but the intent is to add what Alexa suggested, to clarify within privacy policies and patient consent directives explicitly, copy that over. Do we feel that both R16 and R17 can be made green and we follow that up? And any further wordsmithing we do in the Word document rather than here, that we have gone far enough here. Any objections to that? I don't see or hear any anybody. So we'll go with that. That means is that we got as far as R17. We'll pick it up with R18 next time around. And Shelley, back to you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Got 1 minute left. We're going to start our fourth topic on October 4th. And that means we have four more meetings until we're done. October 19th, we have to provide a task force update to the HITACH. And then, of course, our final recommendations will be November 9th. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Excel team, Mike, Tricia Lee, and others. We really appreciate all your support. Thank you.
Thank you.